Amen. Thank you, Ray. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus. Well, as Ray said, we're going to carry on the series that we're doing on the attributes of God. And this morning I'm going to be talking about the love of God to us. And it's an amazing subject. So let's dig right into the Bible, because that's where we're going to find out about the love of God to us. I'm not going anywhere, don't worry. First, we're going to look at Romans 5, verses 1 to 8. Romans 5, verses 1 to 8. I'll read that. The Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Isn't that amazing? Through Jesus, we have peace with God as Christians, as believers. "Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." I'm also going to read from John 3:16, a very well-known passage. This is Jesus talking to a teacher in Israel. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation." We don't often get to this bit. "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that their deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." And quickly over to John 17, verses 1 to 3. Jesus is praying for himself. He speaks these words. He lifts up his eyes to heaven and he says, "Father, the hour has come." He's heading for his crucifixion. He says, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And finally, I want to read from 1 John 4. Verse 18 to 20. Just two verses. 1 John 4, 18 to 20. We'll mainly be in the Romans passage, Romans 5, 1 to 8. But this is, I just really want to read these. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Just thank you, Father, for your word. And this morning we're going to need Holy Spirit. We always need Holy Spirit. But I really am praying that this morning that Holy Spirit would illuminate the love of God in your hearts. I wonder if I'm the only person to have ever struggled with the concept of God's love for me. I wonder if I'm the only one. So when we talk about God's love, it's something that we say as Christians, but something that not all of us encounter and experience in reality all the time as Christians. We say, God loves me, yes, God is love, he loves me. But there are times in our lives when we think, well, how can God love me because I have done this? Or how can God love them because they have done that? And C.S. Lewis writes in a book, it's called The Four Loves. And we have to be honest that there are different types of love. So the first question I want to ask is, what is love? And C.S. Lewis identifies four in the Greek language: philos, eros, storge, and agape. Now, philos is a brotherly love, a sisterly love. That's philos. Eros is the where we get the word erotic from, where it's like a hunger that lovers have for each other. That's eros. And storge is the kind of love that you might have for an old pair of slippers or an old jumper. It's still love. I've got a few jumpers that I just don't ever want to get rid of, and so I'm always trying to hide them away, but I have a love for them, and that's the kind of love. But the love we're talking about when we're talking about God's love for us is the fourth one, and that's agape. And agape is a word to which Christianity gave new meaning. The writers in the New Testament gave this a new meaning because they jumped on it and it was unique. And they said, this is the kind of love that God has for us. Jack Hayford, the American theologian, writes this: outside of the New Testament, agape rarely occurs in existing Greek manuscripts of the period. The definition of this love, agape, is this: it is an undefeatable benevolence, which means kindness. It is an undefeatable kindness, an unconquerable goodwill that always seeks the highest good of the other person, no matter what they do. It is the self-giving love that gives freely without asking anything in return and does not consider the worth of its object. Agape is more a love by choice, and it refers to the will rather than the emotion. Now, as we read in Romans 5, verse 8, God demonstrates his own love for us, his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Did you know that God's love for you is a decision that he made? It is a sovereign choice of God to love you. God's agape is undefeatable kindness and unconquerable goodwill towards us, means that God took the decision to show his undefeatable kindness towards the world without any negotiation with anybody. God said, this is my love, and it's coming, and it's going to be available. He didn't ask us first. He didn't consider us first. He didn't say, I'm going to send this love if. He said, I'm going to send this love, that's it. I'm sending this love. See, we talk about the holiness of God. God is apart from us. His being is set apart from us. And God's love is freely given regardless of how it was going to be received. Because we talk about the sovereignty of God. And in the Psalms it says, our God is in heaven and he does as he pleases. The Lord does whatever pleases him in the heavens and on the earth, in the seas and all their depths. Well, God has sovereignly decided in his sovereignty and desire to do as he pleases, to show his love for us by giving us a way to be in relationship with him through Jesus Christ. See, the kingdom of God is the rule of God. And it's surprisingly painful for us as humans to accept that God has decided to love us outside of our negotiation with us. He doesn't love us because we were worth anything in essence. He doesn't love us because we did something special. He loves us because he said, I am going to love them. That's part of the sovereignty of God. Often we can think of sovereignty of God as a negative thing. God can do what he likes. God can do what he pleases. What God can do as he pleases, he said, it pleases me to love the world and to send them my son. It's God is outside of our full knowing. And theologians talk about the transcendence of God and the immanence of God. And I'm just going to read a quote from Nicky Gumbel, the guy who wrote the Alpha Course. He says, transcendence and immanence describe the almost paradoxical nature of our relationship with God. The transcendence of God means that God exists apart from and is not subject to the limitations of the material universe. He is above and beyond, surpassing and excelling, greatly superior to us. On the other hand, the immanence of God means that it is possible to experience his intimate friendship. He has come to reveal himself to us. It's only when you understand the transcendence of God that you see how amazing his immanence is, and what a huge privilege it is to be able to enjoy intimate friendship with God. Brothers and sisters, transcendence speaks of his total otherness and not being subject to humanity, yet his immanence speaks of his undefeatable will to make himself known to a sinful world. When we marvel at his otherness, his holiness, his sovereignty, that he does as he pleases, when we marvel at that, we see how incredible it is that he's sovereignly chosen to reveal himself to us and desire to be with us. Because it's amazing how much of this is God's work. God demonstrates his own love. It's his love. It's his own love. God demonstrates his own love. A couple of other scriptures. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Salvation belongs to our God. God demonstrates his own love for us, in that while we were still sinners, rebelling against him, Christ died for us. Which brings us to Jesus Christ. God's love for us, agape, is inseparable from Jesus Christ. God's love for us is inseparable from Jesus Christ. It's interesting, Stuart said something last week that has been buzzing around in my head all week long. And he said, paraphrase, don't let anybody tell you the love of God is unconditional. You have to repent and believe. And that just threw me, because I'm sure I've said before the love of God is unconditional, and I've heard preachers say it, and I've heard great teachers say it, and I think a lot depends on the context. But I've come to agree with Stuart, and I'll tell you why. It's because God's love is given freely to the world. It's given freely to the world through his sovereign choice. Yet, to access this love, It requires us to be in relationship with Jesus Christ. It requires from all of us a turning away, repenting from our rebellion against God and believing in Jesus Christ. As we read, for God so loved the world, he so agaped the world, he demonstrated undefeatable kindness to the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For us to experience the true love of God, we have to be in relationship with Jesus Christ. We have to believe in Jesus Christ. We have to turn from our sin and look at Jesus and say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And it's the basics of the Christian faith. Repent, believe in Jesus, be filled with the Holy Spirit, be baptized, go on being filled with the Holy Spirit, be baptized in the Holy Spirit. The love of God cannot be separated from Jesus Christ. God's love for the world is shown by giving the world the opportunity to know Jesus. Now, the whole doctrine of election, it's just, we're not talking about that today because we haven't got 35 years spare this morning because it's just I shouldn't use the word unbelievable doctrine, but it's an incredible doctrine which just blows my mind. But I've come to my current level of understanding, which is one of my favourite phrases when I talk about difficult subjects. Just put my current level of understanding at the beginning, and you're opening yourselves up to learning, because we need a learning heart. Now, when we talk about the doctrine of election, I think basically this love through Jesus Christ is so unique to God, you have to go through Jesus to experience it. Therefore, our reception of the freely given love of God to us as humanity is dependent on our reception of Jesus Christ. It's essentially, God chose us. In his sovereign will, he chose us. And he knows who will receive that choice. And when you receive the truth that you've been chosen, God reveals to you in its by a supernatural ability that you were already chosen. Now you can see why this is just a challenging thing. But what you need to make sure of is that you don't get confused that God loves you and has chosen you and you're in relationship with him. A.W. Pink says, by us, when we say the love of God to us, we mean his people. Holy writings know nothing of a love of God outside of Christ. Holy writings know nothing of a love of God outside of Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus said, for God so loved the world, he was talking to Nicodemus, who was an esteemed Israeli teacher of the law. And so what he was saying to Nicodemus was, look, Nicodemus, God so loved the world, not just the Jews, not just the Jewish people. Yes, the Jewish people, absolutely the Jewish people, but not just the Jewish people. The Israelis were called to shine the light of God and change the world by shining Yahweh and God, demonstrating who God is. And so Jesus is telling him, look, it's not just for the Jews. Yes, it is for the Jews. It's also for the world to know Jesus Christ. The opportunity is there to know Jesus Christ. Jack Hayford said, God's agape love is a word that belongs exclusively to the Christian community. This love is unique to the Christian community. A couple of scriptures for you here. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Another scripture says, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Now that's what the Bible says, which means that if you want the love of God, you need to be in relationship with Jesus Christ. God's love has been poured out by giving the world the opportunity to know Jesus Christ. Brotherly love without Christ won't save you. Erotic love without Christ won't save you. Storge love for your jumper and your slippers without Christ won't save you. Agape love through Jesus Christ and Christ alone is the only love that will save you. And that's the love that was spread out and given to us in Jesus Christ. Because that's the danger that a lot of people have in thinking, is that it says God so loved the world, so therefore he must love me. It doesn't really depend on whether I believe in Jesus or not. It's not true. You read the rest of those verses as we did. It talks about basically in or out. And that's not particularly good or comfortable language in today's culture. Because the challenge is in this culture that we have made love this... It started in the 60s when love was free and given out. Well, there's no conditions to it. We don't need to worry. We're just going to sleep around. We're just going to eat and drink and take what we like. And it doesn't matter because free love is our love. But that's not how God defines love. And for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. What is eternal life? As we read, John 17:3, Jesus says this, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The purpose of God's love to us, the purpose of God giving his love to the world through Jesus Christ, is that we may know him. That is eternal life. Not just know about him, not just have information about him, although that's great. But what God desires for you is that you would know him. And when you talk about the word know, one of the layers of meaning for that is that you would encounter him. You would meet him. That's why God paid such a high price through Christ, is so that you would know him. That is eternal life. Eternal life is living forever. But actually, in our Western culture, we've interpreted that as in, well, now I'm in Jesus, I've got my ticket to heaven, and I'll just hang out here until I pass away. But Jesus wants to know you now. Jesus wants to continue to know you. In Christ is hidden all the mysteries. In Christ. So we will spend the rest of our lives searching and enjoying Jesus. As we read in Romans 5, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to reveal to us that God's love is his own. We need Holy Spirit to reveal these things to us as believers. And just like there is no love of God outside of Christ, if you want to know more about Christ and what he's done for you, if you want to know more about undefeatable love and undefeatable kindness, we must keep seeking the Lord. So when you use words like conditional, it's challenging. Because again, it's about the context. But God's love is not unconditional in that you can receive it without Jesus. But Jesus is a free gift. So the condition is you receive him. like the illustration I've used many times about my nan, that she used to make an amazing treacle pudding. And I like talking about it because I begin to imagine whether in heaven they'll grant me another portion. Because that's where she is. She's serving it up now in glory. Maybe. I haven't seen it. I can't prove it. But the idea, if I go round her house, as I used to many times, and she says, "Do you want some treacle pudding?" And I say yes before she's even asked. And she says, "Well, there's one condition that I'm going to make this treacle pudding, and that's that you eat it." That's not really a condition, is it? So God says, "You can experience my undefeatable benevolence, kindness, unbreakable love if you turn and receive my free gift of my Son in Jesus." That's the kind of condition it is. It's not a condition as in you can experience my love if you pray 300 times a day, if you fast for the rest of your life, if you run up and down the street 60 times a day. It's not that kind of condition. It's saying, look, you need to believe in Jesus Christ because you can't come near my glory without him. You'll burn. You'll frazzle. Because he's so awesome. As we've seen the last few weeks, we're describing the indescribable. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, has been given to us. So by receiving the Holy Spirit, which some theologians would say is the manifestation of the love of God, through the Holy Spirit, God's undefeatable love to us is illuminated. So we need Holy Spirit to illuminate this love. Because it makes no sense to people who aren't in Christ and illuminated by the Holy Spirit. And frankly, as you walk and follow Jesus, you need the illumination of the Holy Spirit to remind you of this love, because it doesn't make rational sense that God would demonstrate his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, he sent his one and only Son to die on the cross for us. Who does that? Who does that? What kind of love is this? That he would do that for you and I, despite all the things we've thought, all the things we've done, all the things we've said. Even he knew that, and before that he said, "I am going to love them and I'm going to give them Jesus Christ and I'm going to give them the opportunity to come into my presence because I want them, I love them, I made them." But you must know the Son, because whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son has not life. So we need Holy Spirit to reveal to us that God's love is his own. And Holy Spirit actually takes the focus away from us and puts our focus on him, as A.W. Pink says, takes away from our wretched self and turns our gaze at the wonder of his love. You see, the problem is in this culture, we are being discipled, if we're not careful, by self-centeredness. We need to be vigilant because this culture is obsessed with self. And if we make ourself the pure focus of what God has done for us, John Piper calls it suicide. Because we're not taking our eyes off ourselves and looking at him and seeing ourselves in him. As Paul says, in Christ. Because we're living in a culture, whether we like it or not, that's obsessed with self-fulfillment. It's all about what's good for me is best. Again, if the culture, the Western culture, is rejected in this external reality that says that will not work, that is not good for you. Well, I'm going to redefine marriage, thank you very much. I'm going to say what marriage is because that's what I think. I'm going to decide if eliminating little ones in wombs is murder or not because that's what I think. Instead of going to the external creator and saying, "Wow, what do you say?" And then when you go to him, you find out you had it all wrong. And it's his definition of marriage and life that is true. And the amazing thing is that even when you face him, you say, I got it wrong. He says, I love you. Here's my son. If you want forgiveness, here's my son. If you want forgiveness for redefining your life according to your own terms, here's my son. And the blood of Christ forgives every sin. But that's the definition of love. Unbreakable kindness in Jesus Christ. Undefeatable benevolence in Jesus Christ. Because the challenge is, if we allow ourselves to be discipled by a self-centered culture, we will focus on ourselves as the center of the universe. And Christ is the center of the universe. And when we give ourselves to him, we see who we truly were before the fall. Before Adam and Eve broke that command, they were living in perfect union and harmony with God. And Christ came to restore us back to what that was like. Now, we'll never be exactly the same in this life because of all that we know we've sinned. And I can't imagine what it was like for Adam and Eve to be in perfect union with him. But God already knew that. It wasn't planned. God went, oh my goodness, they've sinned. Now I'm going to have to love them and send Jesus. Oh my goodness, quick, get a plan together. He already knew that, which makes it amazing that he decided to do it. God demonstrates his own love for us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. What kind of love is this? That if he knew, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread and he gave thanks. And he broke it and he said, this is my body broken for you. On the night he knew he was going to be betrayed. Does that sound like Valentine's Day Hallmark love to you? It doesn't, because it's not. It's totally unique to the Christian faith. It's totally unique to the biblical perspective of what love is. And this kind of love is what this culture needs. This is the love of God. It's not some pithy, ethereal emotion. It's a will and a choice that says, I will love them. I will give them Jesus. And I will give them the opportunity to come into my relationship with me forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Despite what they've said, I want to give them my son. Despite what they thought, I want to give them my son. Despite what they've done, I want to give them my son. Oh, I love Jesus. We have to love Jesus. I mean, what kind of love is this? And God's love to us is that he reveals to us that knowing him is what brings us life. That is part of his agape love that says, I'm going to show them that I am the one who brings life. God's love is given to the world freely in Jesus, but it's only experienced by accepting Jesus. As disciples of Jesus, God's love is given freely, but only continually encountered by those who give him attention. The more attention you give to Jesus and his love, the more you will experience and encounter and know his love. When I was studying for this, I got this just revelation in my mind that it was his love. And it's been throbbing in my head, and it's been throbbing in my heart, and it's been throbbing in my spirit that it's his love. It's not mine. It's the love of God to us is sovereignly decided. If you don't take anything else home today, take that. The love of God is sovereignly decreed by his own self to say, I will love them and give them Jesus. A sovereign decision. And we have a responsibility as followers of Jesus to give our attention to the Holy Spirit and ask Him for an illumination of the love of God to us in Christ, because it is this illumination that empowers us to love others. We cannot love other people in our own strength. We have to love other people with the love that God has shown us. That's the kind of love that stands and says, I'm not going anywhere. You may well behave like that. You may well say that. I may behave like that. I may say that, but I know you're not going anywhere. See, I've just been so blown away by the attributes, and I was off for a couple of weeks. But thinking about the attribute of patience that God has, long-suffering, and the attribute of grace that He has, there's this dynamic, and now with love, it's running through this series for me, and that when we experience the truth of God's long-suffering and patience towards us, we can then demonstrate it to others. When we experience the grace of God for ourselves, that the grace was found in Jesus Christ before time began, we can then show that grace to others. And now to know that God sovereignly chose and decreed by His own will and His own self, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, some mysterious Trinitarian decision to say, we're going to deal with this and we're going to love them, and we're going to love them through Jesus Christ, and we're going to send the Holy Spirit, and we're going to give them eternal life and glory forever and ever and ever. When you receive that and know that it's His love, then you can begin to love others in the same way. The love of God to us carries with it a responsibility. Now we know this love. Now we know this love. What are we going to do with it? This love that's freed us now, because it's His choice to love us. We've received Jesus Christ. We love Him because He first loved us. So even the love you are loving God with is from Him in the first place. And it goes on to say, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. They're strong words. Because what he's saying is, if you know the love of God, how can you hate your brother? How can you do it? Because you didn't earn it. Despite everything you've said, done, thought, you want to say, you want to do, you want to think, God still loves you through Christ. How can you look at someone else and not love them and accept them? We have to show undefeatable kindness towards one another. But our responsibility, number one, is to discover this love from God for ourselves, in that we would manifest and complete it in our call to love others. It's God's own illumination of His own love that empowers us to love Him and love others. And that's why it's so important to look at God. That's why it's so important to give your attention to this truth. It's so important to give your attention. Just have a moment of focusing on this love right now. Just in your heart and mind, just look at it. God sovereignly chose to love you, giving you the opportunity to know Jesus Christ. God sovereignly decreed that you would experience unbreakable, unbeatable agape love. Is there anybody here who spoke with God before he made that decision? No. It was made before we were even a speck. Holy Spirit, I'm asking now that you would illuminate the truth of your love in our hearts right now. It's your own work, God. Keep giving him your attention. You know, you can give him your attention throughout the day. One of the challenges ahead of us is giving him our attention this time tomorrow. What will you be doing this time tomorrow? Can you spare him some attention? Just think of yourself this time tomorrow. Perhaps you'll be busy. Perhaps you'll feel like you're thinking maybe I'm going to be overloaded tomorrow. Just resign in your heart. Choose to give him the, make a decision to give attention to this love. Attention to the undefeatable benevolence, kindness of God to us. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. As believers in Christ, you have peace with God. As believers in Christ, you have been saved by grace in which you stand. As believers in Christ, because of Jesus, it's just as if you had never sinned. Your sins have been wiped away. And now, when we experience this love, what will we choose to do? Will we choose to love each other in that way? Or will we choose to love people dependent on what they do or say, or whether they meet the mark? Will we choose to love people the way God has loved us? And Lord, I just pray, I just make my own personal choice, Lord, to fighting through with experiencing your love. Receiving it without working. Lord, and I ask the Holy Spirit, you'd empower me to know more about your love freely given to me in Jesus Christ, that I might show that love to others. And I pray it for my brothers and sisters right now, that Lord, we would experience your love. It's a divine decision to love us through Christ. And that we would demonstrate that love to others. That we would not look at people in a negative way. We would look at them dependent on your love for them and tell them about Jesus. Have you heard of this love? You don't have to live this way. Have you heard of this love? I'm just saying, you don't have to accept it. But have you heard of it? That's a good opening line to someone this week. Have you heard about this love? Have you heard about this love that was totally apart from us and decided to give us an opportunity to experience it forever? So Lord, I just ask that the cloud of your presence would walk with us as we walk with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's 12:25. Love is demonstrated in many ways. One of the ways love is demonstrated is through cake as well. And we have some cake out there for Trinity's dedication. Please eat it all. Okay? Because if we bring it home...